Sports, Nashville, and more with Ned Michaels and Bob Mueller. Phone lines are open at 615-737-1045. This is Michaels and Mueller, presented by Franklin American Mortgage Company on 1045 The Zone.
And good evening. This is Michaels and Mueller, but Bob and Ned have the night off.
Yes, sir.
Joe Leadingham filling in for Bob and Ned with former Titans wide receiver Chris Sanders and the man of the evening. Basically, everybody you're tuning in to listen to, Titans safety, all-pro safety,
come on, man.
League leader in interceptions, Kevin Byard in the house tonight. Kevin, thanks for being here, man.
Oh, of course, man. What's up, Nashville?
I'm very excited about the show.
Me too.
I got both you guys here. Kevin, first for you, how was the offseason? You guys reported Monday. How's everything going for you, man?
I mean, it's been going great, man. I think just the energy around the city, just the energy in the building, man, everybody's excited. Mike Vrabel has brought a different level of intensity and excitement to this city, man. I think we're all excited to get ready for OTAs.
You guys reported yesterday. Anything exciting when just seeing the teammates again? Got to feel good just to get around the guys again, right?
Right. I mean, well, actually, the rookies had their rookie minicamp this weekend, and so they actually joined the team. So they're mixing in with the veterans now, so we're getting to know those guys a lot more. And we actually start OTAs on Monday. So, I mean, it's been exciting, man. We've been grinding all offseason. Like I said, I think we're ready to, you know, try to take this thing to a championship, try to win the Super Bowl this year.
I know you're a grinder. I can't only imagine the workouts you're putting in. Yeah. How many hours a day does Kevin Byard put in the gym on an off day, really?
Yeah, I mean, you know, with the CBA rules, you can only get 4 hours in the building around this time. But, you know, when I'm leaving the building, man, I'm getting my cryo therapy, getting a lot of recovery in. Because, I mean, it's hot out right now, man. Yeah. Those workouts, those sprints outside, man, they definitely wear and tear on your body. So, you got to, like I said, it's not a sprint, it's a marathon. You know what I'm saying? It's a long season, so we got to make sure you're healthy.
Man, so what did you do on your time off? Did you take some trips or just kind of relax? Or was it good to just kind of get away from football?
Nah, for sure. I mean, to be honest, man, once I came back from the Pro Bowl, I mean, I was working out maybe 2 weeks afterwards.
Yeah.
So I had to start grinding immediately. But I did take a couple trips. Me and my fiance, we took a trip to Mexico with the Cabo.
Well, why didn't bring me nothing back, man? Come on.
Man, that was my fault.
I thought we
was talking. I got you next time. Nah, but that was a pretty cool trip, man. The way, you know, like you said, in the offseason, you got to get away and kind of relax and, you know, reset your mind a little bit before you get back to this grind.
So what do you think about Vrabel? I mean, you know, everybody's, the buzz is that Vrabel's here. He went to The Ohio State University. You know, what's your first
had
initial?
To get that in there.
Yeah, I had to throw that in there. What do you think about him? I know he's a no-nonsense guy, but when you first met him, what was your first thought and reaction about him?
You know, I think he's just a no-nonsense coach. I mean, even though he's a young coach, I mean, you feel like he's been coaching for years. Yeah. I mean, he's very hands-on. I mean, I think one of the things that's inspiring is seeing him out there actually mix it up with the guys. You know what I'm saying? We're doing drills and things like that. He's putting on the pads. Well, not shoulder pads, but, you know, different pads, working drills with the D-line, and actually allow him to hit him and come off the line and hit him. So, I mean, I think just for a guy like a coach like that to come in, he's just making sure everybody's accountable, making sure, you know, if you're not a 1, 2, and 3, you know exactly what you're doing. So, you know, just in case of injury or anything like that, you know, and then also the veterans, you got to be able to trust guys. So, I mean, I definitely think he's not showing any favoritism to anybody. Everybody has to come in and, you know, earn their stripes around here.
Exactly. What? Okay.
I was going to say, one of the interesting things to me when we went to minicamp, and I don't think I've ever heard a head coach say this before, but it kind of jumped out to me, was that Mike said, hey, you know, it wouldn't be fair to give the guys that were, you know, what, once first, second round draft picks 70% of the reps when I fly a guy across the country in here to get 2 reps. And to me, that breeds competition, doesn't it? Because I've never heard a coach say that before. And to me, that kind of jumped out to me as, wow, everyone's getting a fair shake and this is going to be a competitive environment.
Nah, for sure. I mean, like I said, man, Vrabel, he's the type of guy, he'll call you out in the meeting room no matter how long you've been in the league. And I think just to have a guy like that around this building, man, I think, I wouldn't say it's reminiscent of the Patriots because I've never been there, but I would say one thing, that we're definitely trying to build a championship dynasty like the New England Patriots, and I definitely think we can accomplish that here.
Yeah, what message does that send to you and all the players that if he calls you out in a meeting or he calls you out on the field, what message is he sending to all these players?
I mean, he's letting you know that nobody's safe. That's how I feel. Hey, nobody's safe, man. You have to earn your stripes every single day. I think it's a saying or quote, something like that, where, you know, you got to put in work every day and the rent's due. The rent is due every day, and you got to make sure you keep putting in that work.
That's a lot to say coming from a guy who just made All-Pro.
Come on, All-Pro.
I mean, but you know what, though? That's why you are an All-Pro, because you got that work ethic.
No, of course, man. I don't take that All-Pro as if, like, well, I'm All-Pro now. I don't have to work anymore. You know, I made it. I arrived. No, you have to keep working hard. You know, I had a college coach always tell me that, you know, you always talk about a sophomore slump, or you coming back from a great year. You know, guys only have that when they feel like they arrived and they don't come back working. Y'all feel like you had to work even harder the next year to keep up with expectations. And you always had to set new goals. Just because you reach one goal, you had to set more so you can, you know, go to the next level.
I got to ask you this. Did you watch the draft this year? Some guys watch it, some guys don't. I mean, because, you know, look, I mean, you guys brought in two defensive players. Mm-hmm. Obviously, Rashawn Evans, great inside back at Alabama. Right. You've probably seen a little bit of his film. And Harold Landry. These are two guys that can that can really help this defense. So, did you watch the draft, and were you excited about the picks when you saw them come off the board?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't watch the entire draft because, you know, that day three gets pretty long. And we actually drafted the safety in the fifth round.
Cruikshank, yeah.
We actually drafted him or whatever. But, you know, I watched the first round. I watched Rashard Evans come in. I think he's going to be – he's a great addition to the room. A downhill linebacker, somebody who's going to be a three-down player, somebody who's going to bring intensity to the defense. And I think – I didn't watch too much of Harold Landry, but one thing that I have seen from just a little bit of him I've seen is his get-off. I think he has a great get-off, and I think he's going to be able to, you know, get some more pressure. I mean, we have a lot of guys like Arakpo, Derek Morgan, and Jarrell Casey who creates pressure. So having another guy like that, even a rookie with that kind of speed, is always great for us.
Do you and I talked to you about this before the show started, but you're the benchmark for what teams want. I mean, you know, you got taken not in the top two rounds, and you know you're an All Pro your second season. I'm assuming all the rookies are kind of, especially defensive rookies, are looking like, I got to be Kevin Byard.
Right.
You got and I mean whether you like it or not, you're kind of thrust into a leadership role already.
Nah, you're right, and that's one thing Mike Vrabel has also stressed to the team. Just actually on Monday when the rookies got in, he kind of put a couple pictures up with some guys. Just to test the rookies' knowledge to see who they knew on the team already. And he asked a couple guys like Josh Klein, Quentin Spain, and just asked him, like, hey, what round did you go? You know, most of those guys said undrafted. You know, and how many years have you been starting this league? Just letting even the undrafted guys know that no matter when you get drafted, no matter if you're a first round or you're eighth round, you know, you have to keep working. And at the end of the day, it doesn't really matter. And once you come in and you put work and you show the team that, you know, you can play, you know, you can make a career out of this thing.
But you know what's cool, man? Just kind of listen to you talk. You're all pro. I mean, you're a great player. And I talked to Coach Townsend. That was your former coach.
Yeah.
And I said, what did he do different from last year to this year? He said nothing. He's just coachable. So I just want to take my hat off to you by, you know, there's a lot of great players that get to the elite, but then they stop working. Right. What makes you keep hungry and what makes you keep working?
You know, I think it's just my beginnings. I've been through this a lot from – you know, high school, not having that many scholarship offers, having my scholarship took from me from Kentucky, happened to go to Middle Tennessee. And I always had my coach tell me, even though I was at Middle, you know, it's a mid-major school, he always said, man, don't compete with the guys that's in the weight room with you. Don't compete with the guys in the locker room. Think about those guys at Alabama, Florida State. Think about what they're doing. Think about the work they're putting in. And that was always in my mindset. Even though I was running sprints with the guys, you know, what is that safety at Alabama doing? What kind of work is he putting in? So that's always been my mindset. And like I said, I mean, I have been successful doing that. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, if it ain't broke, you know, don't fix it. So.
Well, I know they just drafted some big dogs on the defensive line. But how good can this secondary be? I mean, you got Logan, you got Butler, you got Cyprian, you got yourself. You got some dogs that's ready to hunt. How good can this defensive secondary be?
You know, I mean, we've been talking about it all offseason, man. I think we can be one of the better.
Come on, say it again. Let everybody know.
I think we could be one of the best, defensive groups or DBs in the league.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I think, you know, just been putting in work with all the guys, Logan, Sip, and Malcolm coming in as well. You know, we're grinding every day. Mm-hmm. I mean, every single day. And we're putting that out in the air. Every time we break it down, we're trying to be the best. And, I mean, like I said, it's not foreseen right now. But at the end of the day, as long as we're putting in the right steps, like I said, I feel like we can achieve that goal.
For you, I was going to, you know, obviously there's some new schemes, offensively, defensively, everything. What's the transition period for, you know, you got some, Dean Pease comes in, changes some things up. How long does it take to kind of get the language down, you know, to get the playbook down, the schemes, everything like that? Is that like, that's not an overnight thing. That's a couple weeks, maybe a couple months, right?
I wouldn't say a couple months. I mean, for a guy like me, honestly, a couple weeks, I think for the most part, it's not like he's inventing any new defenses. I think for the most part, it's getting the verbiage down. You know, it's the same defense, but it's talking different languages and things like that. So, you know, I'm pretty good with, you know, learning new playbooks and pretty much I have a good, you know, IQ and knowledge of the game. So
I know that. You don't get eight picks without that.
Nah, you're right. Yeah. And Like I said, I think it's all about just making sure everybody knows what you're doing. Because I can't be the only guy on the field knowing the plays and, right. and the safety next to me or the D or the nickel or somebody like that doesn't know what they're doing. So it's all about everybody knowing what they're doing to make the defense successful.
One thing that I that also stood out to me that Vrabel said, and this is why I had, we did our one-on-ones with him when he first came in, and he kind of said, look, there's no magic plays. Mm. You know, everybody's kind of got – you know, the same plays, but his motto is know what to do and play right. fast mm-hmm. and aggressive. I mean, that's essentially what it is, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, like I said, I mean, there's you can't invent any new go routes or any kind of things like that. At the end of the day, it's all about doing your job to the best of your ability as fast as you can. And I think that's what the great teams do. And that, I feel like that's when it comes to having good coaches and good players and being able to be coachable, to be able to learn a new scheme or go from one team to the next and being able to be successful.
What do you tell, you know, obviously, what do you tell the rookie DBs that come in and what's your message to them? What will, if you haven't already said it, what will your message be to them entering OTAs, entering training camp is like, you know, look, we got a chance to be really good here, but what do you tell those guys coming up? Because you were a rookie 2 years ago.
Nah, sure. And I think the main thing for the rookies, I mean, you're coming from the combine, you're coming from pretty much doing all these drills. I mean, that's what a lot of guys doing, but working hard. I mean, I don't think anybody's coming in out of shape or anything like that. I think the main thing is learning the playbook. You have to dive into the playbook. I mean, as much as you can learn, as fast as you can, that's what's going to get you an opportunity to get on the field. I mean, like I said, we're all out here working hard and things like that. But, I mean, once you don't have the – if you don't have a knowledge of the game, you're going to get on the field. You're not going to be able to showcase that talent. So I think that's my message to the younger guys and really all across the league. Learn what you need to do. Learn the playbook so you can play fast.
I think when all the guys were getting interviewed the other day, I think one of the things Crookshank was saying was like, man, the playbook's huge.
Like, I mean, it seems like that it's as huge. A rookie. I ain't going to lie. When I came in as well, learning Dick LeBeau's complex defense, you know, it was I wouldn't say it was a lot for me, but my head was spinning at first. Right. I mean, just learning different things. We had so many different checks and things like that. But once you get the hang of it, once you really dive in and start to understand what you know, why is the coaches calling this play? You know, is this a third down play or sub or, you know, in base coverage and things like that. So I think once you learn that, you'll be able to play as fast as you can.
Is it fair to say this, that you're safe playing safety? You're basically the quarterback of the defense. Mm-hmm. So you kind of got to know what everybody, it's not just you. You know, you got to know what everybody's doing, don't you?
Nah, you're right. And that's one thing that I'm learning and studying right now, not just learning my position, learning what the linebackers are doing. Because, I mean, a lot of times, like you said, you got cover one.
Yeah.
That's the defense. Everybody knows it's one high safety. Everybody's a man coverage. But you have so many different variations of it that you can call in one game, knowing where this guy's blitz, where if you have low post help and things like that. So you can be able to play your, you know, like I said, play your job better. And I think that's the main thing, just learning all different coverages. Not only learning that, what is the nickel doing? What is the corner doing? So you'd be able to know where's your help and things like that. So
you know, it's funny that you said that because Vrabel said he wants versatile players. I mean, I know you play the cover one safety, play kind of deep. Mm-hmm. But what other things can you do to help the team in that secondary?
I mean, at the end of the day, I want to be able to play as many positions as I can. If I have to go down there and play, you know, linebacker on third down or something like that, look, I need to do it. I mean, I feel like the more you can do, right. you know, the more you can help this team win. And at the end of the day, I think that's what every DB, I think that's what you're seeing around the league mm-hmm. as well. I mean, a lot of times, you know, you're getting cornerbacks that can play safety as well.
Yeah.
So I think that's where the league is going. Just be able, the more you can do, you know, the more value you can add to the team.
And this is a team game, but I want to put this out here. I know it's a team game, but what are your individual goals? I know you had a lot of interceptions this year. You had a lot of tackles. But individually, what does Kevin want to accomplish this year?
I mean, number one, I want to be more of a leader on this team.
Come on, man.
I definitely want to be able to lead this team to a championship, to be honest. And I think, I mean, interceptions, all the stats, that's all good. I definitely want, of course, I want to have double-digit picks and things like that. Yeah. But I think the main thing is being able to have more of a vocal leadership on this team. And I think I've always been a good leader by example. But I think the vocal leadership is something I want to step up more this year.
If there's a player in the league that you compare yourself to, who do you think? Like your style and – you know, your attitude. What are one of the players that you compare yourself to?
to be honest, I don't really compare myself right. to anybody in this league today.
Good. I love it.
I love
yeah,
it.
I mean, I really
that's
don't.
Why I asked it.
I don't compare myself to anybody. Right. I mean, I think growing up, my guys was Ed Reed, Troy Polamalu, right. those kind of right. guys. Those guys, and I mean, honestly, if I would even come close to a comparison, I would have to say Earl Thomas. That's a guy who I've been looking up to
yeah.
for a long
Bad
time.
Boy.
I mean, when I was yeah. in college, I was yeah. watching his film, you know, way back, trying to learn different things that he was doing. But, I think, I mean, just as far as comparison, I think I want to be my own kind of safety. I don't want to have to, like you said, trying to be like somebody else. I want to be myself and keep, you know, trying to better my game.
Yeah, being yourself, all pro, go. Kevin Byard in studio. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back. This is Michaels and Mueller, Joe Leadingham, Chris Sanders, and Kevin Byard. We'll be right back. And welcome back to Michaels and Mueller. Joe Leadingham filling in for Ned and Bob. Michaels and Mueller brought to you by The Grove and GroveLiving.com. It's proud to introduce its newest neighborhood, Magnolia Park, a collection of handcrafted residences that hearken back to an era of arts and crafts style bungalows. Mm-hmm. The homes will be grouped into their own intimate neighborhood in a forested setting with The Grove community. Check out Magnolia Park at The Grove and GroveLiving.com. Michaels and Mueller, also brought to you by Franklin American Mortgage. Chris Sanders, former Titan in the studio, and of course, the man all tuned in to listen to, Kevin Byard.
Yo, what's going on?
In the house. Kevin, I wanted to start the second segment off with this. You just told us a pretty good story about the NFL draft and about a guy who wasn't invited to the combine, thought you had a pretty good Senior Bowl, and then I'm going to let you pick it up from there and tell us how you ended up getting drafted by the Titans. I didn't know this story.
Yeah, I mean, we're pretty much just talking about how, stressful, the whole combine and draft process was. And like I said, I had a real good pro day. Then after my pro day, I ended up having maybe 10 to 12 visits. So, I mean, this was all within like a 10 or 2 week span. So I'm taking a visit. One day I'm here in a different city here, a different city here. And my last visit was in Miami. And my agent called me and was like, hey, man, the Titans want to come work you out when you get back to Nashville or you can get back to Murfreesboro. That's why I'm still in Tennessee. And I was like, man, I don't think I'm up for it, man. I've been on this buffet tour a little bit.
the buffet tour.
Eating steak everywhere I'm going and stuff like that. I said, I don't really think I'm ready. And I was like, man, tell him I don't think I'm ready for it. I don't think I want to work out. And he was like, all right, man, I'm going to call you back in about an hour. So he called me. I was like, listen, man, I know you might not be up for it and things like that. He said they're not going to kill you or anything like that. He said, but, I mean, the general manager is going to be there. The head coach, Mike Mularkey, is going to be there. The Shea is going to be there, our DB coach at the time. The director of college scouting and Dick LeBeau is there. He said, so, I mean, I think you really want to show up, man. I was like, oh, man, I ain't got no choice but to show up, man. And it's crazy, man. I had a good workout, had a good meeting with LeBeau. Mm-hmm. LeBeau actually told me that I was one of the better, as far as meetings, just talking ball that – he's had with the DB, so I think that ultimately ended up getting me picking, first pick of the third round.
Tell us that day when, the draft is going on and you're sitting there and the general manager calls you and says, are you ready to be a Titan? Kind of take us into that story and how you felt and how your family felt when the day you got drafted.
It's funny because the funny thing about it is that I remember sitting down in the chair close to the window because my phone was on a charger and I wasn't getting the best service in the house. I had maybe one or two bars on my phone.
Oh, the worst.
So I'm sitting there checking my phone, making sure my phone is in service or whatever. And so I've been in Tennessee for the past few years. So I'm just watching the draft. I'm seeing a couple of teams. I thought I was going to get picked by Carolina. It was a couple of teams I thought I was going to get picked by. And the first pick of the third came around and my phone rang and I see the 615 number.
Oh, there you go.
So I already know what it was. I said, oh, man, it's the Titans calling. Everybody be quiet, everybody be quiet. And it was crazy, man. I got that call. And like you said, John Robinson, the first thing he said, man, you told me you wanted to be a Titan.
There you go, man.
And I was like, man, hell yeah, I want to be a Titan. You know what I'm saying? But that was pretty awesome, man. Then, awesome. I think the best part about it is hearing your name, because I think Delanie Walker actually announced my pick. And just hearing the name Kevin Byard and my whole family just exploded in the house, man, I think that's the best part about getting drafted, for sure.
Did you cry? Come on, tell us.
A little bit. I definitely, because my mama started crying. So I ain't had no choice but to cry. I definitely did. It was a cool environment.
That's got to be one of the most stressful things. Because you got a lot of teams probably telling you, hey, we like you. But I mean, and that's the thing, is that you want to get to a good situation, don't you? And you feel like, I mean, obviously, you've been in probably the best situation you could be in, right?
I mean, honestly, I wasn't looking at situations. I was just trying to get it over with.
Right.
I mean, I went from, it was funny because we watching the first round, Jerry. My dad was like, man, you just got to watch, man. I'm telling you, you might go first round. I'm like, listen, man, relax. I'm probably not going to go first round. Right. But, just like I said, I think towards the end of the second round started to be a run on safeties. Mm-hmm. So I'm thinking, oh, man, it might happen soon.
Right.
So I think just sitting there, just my heart was beating fast. And, I'm sitting next to my girl, my fiance now, my girl at the time, sitting around my family. And, like I said, it definitely is stressful, just, just sitting there. But I think as soon as I seen that 615, I feel like everything just went silent.
Right.
It was just crazy. It was a great experience.
How did it feel when your first day of practice, you're walking into the facilities, and you go in your locker room, and you see your name? How the heck did that feel?
Man, it felt amazing. I mean, it's crazy because, you know, as rookies, when we first come in, you know, you see all the pretty lockers, the good lockers. Yeah. They got all the rookies in the corner over here. We in the wooden lockers. So
yeah.
You can barely sit in your locker, you know what I'm saying? But it was pretty cool, man. Right, just being in the locker room, seeing guys that you watched on TV all the time just walk by. And like I said, being drafted by Dick LeBeau and Deshae Towns, the guys who I watched win Super Bowls, it was definitely awesome.
I was going to ask you, for this rookie class, is it overwhelming a bit just to come into being a rookie that first day coming in and realizing, because every guy I've talked to has kind of said, man, you know, some guys have said, I was not ready for what I was about to face out here.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think just the expectations coming into it, because you don't really know what to expect. Because like I said, you hear stories about, you know, it's hard, or you hear stories about, oh, these guys are crazy, this, that, and that, but I think it's definitely overwhelming, but I think once you get the first couple of days in, you kind of get into the groove or whatever, it'll be fine. Those guys will be all right.
All right, going to ask you, staying with the draft, we're going to move on to more AFC South NFL stuff in a minute here, but my question, you guys have probably heard, NFL draft's supposed to come to Nashville.
Ooh.
I guess thoughts on that, and because the last time I saw you, you were part of the big jersey reveal,
right.
And I think that was kind of a way of maybe getting Nashville noticed, because there's a lot of people. I mean, you told me, you're like, I couldn't believe how many people showed up.
Nah, I really didn't. I mean, the turnout we had, and I honestly think, you know, just that event by itself is kind of one of the leading reasons why I think we can have the draft party here, or we're having the draft here, because, I mean, this city is amazing. I think this is like the number one city for bachelorette parties and things like
true.
That. We definitely know how to party. We know how to get down. Sure.
Yeah, to what you guys have done, obviously, on the field the last couple of years has really helped that, further
right.
that to get it here. But what does that do, I guess, for the Titans organization? You get the NFL draft here. All of a sudden, you and the organization kind of gets put up a little bit on the national stage.
Yeah, I mean, I think we had to keep winning. You know, to get that real attention that we really want, we had to keep winning and sustaining, you know, playoff victories and trying to make it to that Super Bowl. But I think it does more for the city of Nashville. I think this is one of the most upcoming, one of the best cities to live in the country. So I definitely think having this draft here next year will definitely do wonders for the city.
Do you think that adds a little pressure? I mean, you got the uniforms, you got the expectation. You know, everybody's picking y'all to do some big things in the AFC South. Does that add a little pressure to your teammates and yourself?
I mean, maybe outside the building. I think inside the building, man, we're not really worried about the noise. We're honestly just worried about getting better every day, you know, working hard. Like I said, trying to really just – I think this is the time where we're gelling as a team right now. We're trying to come together and supporting each other and making sure that we're in tip-top shape and ready to go.
Yeah, tell us about the owner, Ms. Shrunk. I mean, how special is she? I mean, to put all this stuff, you know, down with the uniforms and the expectation level going up because she cares about her team.
Yeah, definitely. One of the best owners in the NFL. I think she's definitely – she cares about the team. She cares about this city. She cares about the fans. She cares about everything. And I think just having her as an owner, man, is definitely a blessing.
You look at next season, and we're going to get into this more because we're going to have to go to break here in a minute, but the AFC South, all of a sudden, this conference, this conference was looked at for –
Can't sleep on them now.
No. Listen, it's competitive, man. I mean,
right.
you know, last year at the start of the year, nobody thought this conference was what it was. And listen, you got three teams, you guys, the Texans, the Jaguars, they're all really, really good teams.
Exactly. I mean, just thinking about – as much talent that we have in this division right now. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, I don't think you can sleep on the Colts either. I mean, when Andrew Luck comes back, this is going to be probably, if not, the most competitive division in football.
Are we going to the phone lines here, Ryan? I think we got a – Kevin, I think we got a call for you.
Okay.
Al Lee in Nashville, welcome.
What's going on?
What's up, fellas? KB, man. Love you on the field, man.
Yeah, I appreciate it. What's going on?
Hey, like what you said, the city of Nashville does know how to party. So, you know, we're gonna take that party to Atlanta in February.
Oh, sure.
We're gonna have you guys come back to town with the Lombardi, party on Broadway, and then we're gonna have to draft in April. So keep showing out, KB, man. I'm a season ticket holder, big fan of your work since you've been at NT, man. Keep grinding, man. Keep grinding.
Oh, yeah, man. I appreciate it, man. Appreciate you for being a fan.
Thank you. Thanks, Allie, for the call. And obviously, you got a lot of excited people for next season. And I know that the expectations for you guys are a lot higher than even the fan base.
I mean, I think we deserve it. And I think at the end of the day, just having all the expectations, having all this excitement, I think the thing that we do great as a team is really ignoring it. I mean, of course, we embrace it.
Right.
But at the same time, we're managing expectations within the building and making sure that, like I said, we're able to really just live out all those expectations and make sure that we can be the best team that we can be.
You know, I watched you guys last year, especially when you made interceptions. And when you made an interception, the whole team came together.
Sure.
It just seems to me that you guys are like a close-knit team. Is that something that you guys built or it just happened?
And I think it's something that we built. You know, over the past few years, you know, John coming in and just the roster that he's put together, I think we're just, it's like a brotherhood. I mean, I know in the DB room, man, we're as close to DB room as I've ever been around. I don't care if it's college, in the league. We're just close like that. I mean, we've been grinding all offseason since, you know, February, March. So I think just having that bond, I mean, I think that's the only way you can really grow as a team and actually win championships. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can't have a bunch of guys that you're not cool with.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, you have to be close together to be able to win together.
I was going to say, you know, and I know you said you didn't watch a ton of the draft, but if I was a member of the Titans, I would be excited with John Robinson because I'm like, man, he's going to be making moves.
Right.
It's every year you probably get some updates on your phone like Titans trade up and you're like, oh, what are we doing? I mean, that's got to be a little bit exciting.
Yeah,
right?
I mean, we had 4 picks in the draft. That was pretty surprising. I mean, But at the end of the day, man, John knows what he's doing, and I think everybody in the city trusts John's plan. And I think at the end of the day, all he's trying to do is win the championship.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I think if that's not the goal, if you're in the building, that's not the goal, for the most part, he's probably going to get you out of there.
There you go. More from Kevin Byard and Chris Sanders. This is Michaels and Mueller. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Michaels and Mueller. This segment of Michaels and Mueller brought to you by Lindell Jewelers in Brentwood, a family-owned business since 1991. Carolyn and her staff will custom design your engagement ring and wedding band, known for distinctive style and one-of-a-kind magical pieces of jewelry. They also provide excellent repair services. Lindell Jewelers, 7028 Church East Brentwood, or lindelljewelers.com. You can see my girlfriend over here. She's the sirens are going off. She's excited about that.
She's Chris, Michigan. She went to Michigan,
she
so
did,
that doesn't
she
count.
She did. Former Titans wide receiver Christopher Sanders, and of course,
come on,
Titans All-Pro safety Kevin Byard in studio tonight. Now, we're going to start this segment with a quick call. Matt from the borough calling in. Matt, you got a question for Kevin. Go ahead, man.
KB, big fan also. Just made you that 31 Savage album cover and photo shop.
Okay, yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, man. So my question for you is, which game at MTSU is your favorite, your best memory? For me, it was your game against Old Dominion. I think you had a pick six, a punt return for a touchdown, and maybe a fumble recovery for a touchdown.
Yeah,
but that's
the
one that stands out.
Yeah, that was a big game, man. I mean, as far as, you know, individual games, accolades, I mean, that's definitely up there at the top. But, I mean, we had a lot of great victories. My freshman year, you know, we beat Georgia Tech down there, kind of blew them out. I think nobody in the world expected that. I got a couple
of home. 4 touchdowns.
Yeah, exactly. We had the West Kentucky game my junior year. We beat them in triple overtime with a game-winning touchdown. That was pretty cool. We had a real dramatic victory against Marshall my senior year. I mean, I was out, but just watching the sideline was crazy. Blocked the field goal. I mean, it's a lot of games, man. I think just having that winning tradition, that middle, man, is definitely something exciting.
Yep. We love it, man. Go Blue Raiders.
Yeah, I appreciate it, man. Go Blue.
Matt, thanks for the call. Speaking of big games in college, we got a little story at the break here that I absolutely loved. And we're going to take you back to your senior season?
Senior year.
Against Alabama. And so what happened in that game, Kevin?
Yeah, so it's funny because, you know, in college, especially at a mid-major school like Middle Tennessee, when you get that schedule, when the schedule comes out, you always see those two or three big schools you're playing, maybe SEC, ACC. You know, we see Alabama on the schedule. I think that was game two. So we're like, oh, man, that's the money game right there. We got to get off. Me and my roommate, we talking up the whole summer. Yeah, we got to get off that game. And, I mean, we knew who was going up against. We knew who was going up against, Amari Cooper was gone. But I think Calvin Ridley was there. He was a younger self. Mm-hmm. But Derrick Henry, we was like, oh, man. So, you know, watch the film the whole time. We're going to make sure Derrick Henry don't get nothing. He's not getting nothing. And so we get out there pregame, and I'm like, is that him? Like, this man was bigger than every linebacker. He might have been bigger than our D-line and O-line. And I'm looking at him like 6'4", 240. And I'm like, man, listen. If I grab his leg, y'all got to come on and help me out, man. But, I mean, it's funny because Derrick actually didn't have 100 yards rushing that game. It might have been the only game that year that he didn't have 100 yards rushing. So – that's a little something I can brag about, just a little bit.
So was it, I mean, in all honesty, when you saw me, like, uh-oh.
Yeah, I mean, I was like, man. But I ended up catching the pick that game, and I had almost 10 tackles or something like that before I was ejected for a weak targeting call in the third quarter. But I made some money that game, I can tell you that.
There you go.
Let me ask you a question. You're in practice. Mm-hmm. You got Derrick Henry over here, and he gets to pick anybody to do the Oklahoma drill. and he picks you. What would you do? I want you to tell the listeners. What would you do?
Well, I mean, I'm not going to sit here and say that I'm going to go hand up. That might be the one time in practice, man. I might have to, I'm going to tell him, like, look, man, we got to make a solid agreement. We got to stay healthy for the season, man. We got to make sure we win the Super Bowl.
I'm messing with you, man. No,
look, he's, I think for the first time I saw him, I was like, this guy's a running back?
He's huge, man.
But Scarborough's just as big.
Yeah.
He might be bigger.
Jeez. Yeah.
But I think one thing about Derrick Henry that's very underrated that most guys don't see, mm-hmm. that he's fast.
Oh, man.
Yeah, he is.
I mean, if he breaks an open field, you're not catching him.
No.
I mean, you've seen a couple times this year, he broke for long runs. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's one thing I think is underrated, his speed.
I think a lot of defenses kind of didn't see that coming.
Hey, guys don't want to hit him.
Oh, I wouldn't want to hit him either.
No. Absolutely not. I was going to – looking ahead to this next season, I wanted to mention this before I totally forgot about it. The London game. You guys are playing in London this year.
It's going to be very exciting.
Yeah, tell me a little bit about that. That's got to be exciting.
Yeah, I mean, when I first seen it come on the schedule, man, I'm like, man, I'm going to play out the country this year.
Yeah.
That's something that's very exciting. I mean, the matchup as well, you know, playing the Chargers. I played the Chargers in my rookie year, which kind of took an L to them. So
tough game, though. You guys were in that to
the. Nah, for sure. Definitely want to get some, get a rematch with that one, though. That's going to be a pretty exciting game.
Are you guys, I mean, you guys probably don't know. I mean, you'll probably get a couple days out there. Does time change? You look at the London games, and the scores are always just so lopsided.
Yeah, it is.
The time change has got to affect you guys in some way, right?
So it's crazy. So, I mean, I done had a couple of teammates. So I think Jonathan Sibrin, he played for Jacksonville. I think they go out there every year. So he's played in Jacksonville. He played in London a few times. And he said, I think the home team goes out there earlier, maybe for an entire week or something like that. Mm-hmm. Then the away team, I think we're going to be away team this year. We get out there maybe Thursday or Friday.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny, I think he said the away team always win. I don't know if it's because, you know, you're out there for a whole week, you party it up or something like that. But they say the away team is usually the one that wins. So hopefully that's, you know, it's going to help out, put it in our favor.
First time in London?
First time.
First time.
First time in Europe.
First time in Europe.
Nice.
Okay. I mean, you got your passport already from Mexico. Is it, I take it, you have to have passports, right? Or So everybody's got to make sure they get their passport.
I actually got my passport in college. We went to the Bahamas Bowl.
That's right. Yeah. That's right.
Nice. So I've been having my passport for a little minute.
I'm always wondering if, you know, someone forgot. You got 100 people going over there. It's like, is there a passport line for, you know, do you guys just get to go to the front of the line? Like, no. How does that work?
A little expedited. That's all I'm saying.
We got another phone call from Corey Curtis.
Oh, Corey.
Corey, hello.
Dangummit.
This is the greatest show in national radio history.
Thank you.
All of my favorite people are in one room. Kevin, I just said, you know, one thing I have not asked you about is last year we saw Adoree Jackson get all this time on offense. Mm-hmm. He didn't have 19 picks in college. What the hell's going on?
Hey, man, I was asking Malarkey the same thing. Like, hey, have you not seen my return skills, man? I done had 4 pick 6 in college, man. I'm trying to get on offense. But, I mean, that boy Adoree is something exciting. Yeah. First game of the year in the Raiders, I was out there still on kick return, out there blocking. And he ran past me and literally jumped over somebody. And I was like, oh, this guy's the truth. First game, I said, oh, it's a wrap. He's the truth.
Yeah.
Hey, you made a monster jump year one to year two. How big is that jump going to be for that cat this season?
Man, I think he's definitely, you know, in it for a breakout year. I mean, one thing I've been seeing from Adoree, man, just coming – because I told him that at the end of last year, you know, coming into year two, you know, especially around this time, man, you're coming in the building, it's like a breath of fresh air. You know, your rookie year, you're pretty much going from January to January. And then this year he's had his first offseason, and he's coming and he's ready to work. I think he's more relaxed. He knows the defense more, and he's more comfortable with himself and the plays he's going to make. So I think he's in for a Pro Bowl year.
Mm. Well, Joe, thanks for having me on your show.
Hey,
I really
Corey.
Appreciate it.
Thanks for the call, and I'll see you tomorrow, buddy.
All right. Kevin, I want to see you in the slot when August gets here.
Hopefully, I try to argue a little bit with Matt LaFleur, see if he can get me in there.
Hey.
All right, use your weapon.
Corey Curtis from News 2, my boss. Corey, thanks for the call, man.
Hey, man, can you seriously play receiver?
Yeah, of course he can play receiver.
I didn't play it in college, but I was a high school receiver now. Okay. I used to do my thing out there now.
All right, I'm going to quiz you. Okay, you got cover one.
Okay.
You're the outside receiver. You're on the perimeter.
But before we go, he's going to ace this quiz.
I'm going to see. Okay. He's shade. The DB shading inside.
Okay.
You got a 15-yard comeback. Give me the technique on that.
15-yard comeback.
Let's say 20-yard comeback. Cover zero. He's shading inside. What
you just said cover one.
I mean, but still, he's shading inside.
Okay.
It's pressed.
I mean, I'm probably gonna take that speed release outside.
You got to get him off his spot.
Yeah, I mean, you do. You got to get him off his spot. I'm probably taking a little jab inside. Okay, you know what I'm saying? Try to move him a little bit. Go ahead and get up the field. And I might hit him with that. Jerry might just give him a little. I might slow it down a little bit and take off like I'm going deep.
There you go.
I might throw my head back there a little bit. Then just,
he's got it. He's got it.
You got to give him that head nod at the top of the rock.
I told you he'd ace it.
He's got it.
If this is a personal question, one question that I've always wanted to ask you, you've seen a lot of quarterbacks in a couple years. Which guy to you, and I'm assuming I know the answer, but which guy to you, I mean, you know there's quarterbacks in the league that you can get to mentally. If you pick them off, you know, you guys get pressure up front. I know there's guys that I'm not going to say fold, but they're going to struggle. Is there a guy that you and I think I know the answer, but is there a guy that you just, this guy just keeps on coming no matter what you do?
Mm. Yeah, you definitely know the answer. I mean, I think I went against the greatest quarterback of all time, and that's Tom Brady. Mm. I think, you know, playing against Tom Brady, you know, just watching him, not even just watching, when I played against him, he was able to dissect our defense like it was that.
Yeah.
I mean, in the red zone, being able to motion the running backs out, just seeing different coverages and things like that. I mean, and then I don't really think people realize how tall he is back there in that pocket. You know, he stands up like a tree and he doesn't move. I think he's one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time for sure.
Who's the toughest receiver that you guys win against that every time he's on the field, you're like, man, we got to watch this guy?
I mean, we play AB this year.
Okay.
And AB's definitely a top three.
He's fast. It's just technique, ain't it?
I mean, I think he's both. I mean, I think just the dedication he puts. I mean, if you watch his Instagram, man, that guy pretty much works out 7 days a week.
Wow.
I mean, he puts in a lot of work in the offseason. I think everything that he gets and all the yards and touchdowns he scores is definitely deserving. But, I mean, it's a guy we see twice a year, and that's DeAndre Hopkins.
He's a beast.
He's a beast. And I can't even lie. I mean, that's one guy that you'll watch on film. You say, man, he doesn't really run routes that good. He's always getting jammed up and stuff like that. But, I mean, he fights. And for every you know, he's 10 catch plus every time we play him almost.
Keep going.
No, you're good. And I think he's just a great receiver for sure.
I got a story about AB that I read. Maybe you can help me out with this. I read that the way he breaks down defensive backs is the way he runs his routes is he'll run a route maybe 80% speed 10 times. And then on the 11th time, boom, he's at 100%. And that's apparently what he does to throw people off. Is that normal or do receivers usually do that? Because I guess – that was one of the secrets, I guess, to his success is he'll run a route 85-90% speed. Then all of a sudden he'll click over that 10% when he absolutely needs it. Then he's, you know, two or three steps behind.
Yeah, I mean, AB, like, I think he's just a perfectionist. Mm-hmm. I think just his routes are crisp. Everything he does is crisp and it's like on time. I would tell you another thing that helps him out a lot. I mean, Big Ben, I think that's his first look every time.
Yeah.
I mean, he's going to AB. If he's not going to AB, he's going to Bell. So I think it's AB, check down the bell. I mean, I think that they just have a great three-headed monster up there in Pittsburgh.
You know, just talking about AB, because I like to break down receivers also. The one thing that I love that he does well is his eyes.
Right.
And he runs the route off his guy. Just say if he's got cover two and he's got to run a corner route. He knows that the corner is playing the flat and the safety has a half. So he knows that I need to run the route off the safety. So it's his eyes that wins the game. He's not a blazer.
Nah. Mm.
But, man, he's so smart. He understands what he's doing, and his eyes wins the game. I mean, just like that route he ran against you guys.
Sure.
I'm not trying to trying to put it out there. Yeah. But his eyes won the route. And it was like double coverage.
Right.
But his eyes won the route, and that's what makes him so special.
Sixth-round pick. Guy like that.
Yeah.
We got to take a little break here. More with Chris Sanders and Kevin Byard.
Come on,
when we come back, this is Michaels and Mueller. Welcome back to Michaels and Mueller, brought to you by Franklin American Mortgage. And this segment brought to you by Len Clothing. Top shelf quality, custom fit found in your local pro shop. Known for the exquisite and long-lasting belts with quality stitch count and styling, LEN works with exceptional fabrics and leathers, creating products that speak to those who appreciate classic style with modern sensibility. Items you don't have to wear, but you want to wear. LEN online customer car, LENBESPOKE.com or in your favorite pro shop. Joe Leadingham filling in for Bob Mueller and Ed Michaels, former Titans wide receiver Chris Sanders, and of course, the man rapidly becoming a legend here in Nashville, Kevin Byard, Titans All-Pro safety.
Yes, sir.
Chris, I believe you've got a question for Kevin to start this block off. Go for it.
Okay, I was watching NFL Network. I think it was about 2 or 3 days ago. Mm-hmm. Your picture's up. I mean, not your picture, but you're on there. You're talking about it.
All right.
And they was talking about the top 100 in the NFL, and you made the cut.
Yes, sir.
Number 80. Are you excited about it or are you upset?
So, I mean, I'm excited because at the end of the day, it's my first time ever being on the list. Yeah. I mean, so many great players in the league, so many great players that I respect that I don't think might not even make the list. Right. So, I mean, just to be on the list is definitely a blessing, but I definitely feel like I could have been a little bit higher.
I'm trying to get my calculator because there's 2,000 players in the league, right? Is that right?
Something like that.
I think you're number 80. I mean, that's pretty doggone good.
Nah,
man.
It definitely is.
So, you know, that just takes my hat off to you by you working hard and, you know, you came in with an edge on your shoulder, and you're proving everybody that you're the best safety in the league. There's one guy that didn't know your name, Deion Sanders.
Yeah.
How do you feel about that?
I mean, I think that's kind of long and gone. Yeah, I respect that guy, Deion Sanders, though. I think he's probably, if not the best corner to ever play this game. And he has a gold jacket, something that I'm chasing. So, I mean, until I get a gold jacket, man, I can't really talk too much.
But you know what's cool, though, is he's going to know who you are this year. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Even though he made a mistake and said he didn't know your name, which he probably did know your name. But I guarantee you, when he talks about the Titans, he's going to point your name up because he's going to say, that guy's a baller.
Exactly. I mean, like you said, man, I honestly think it was an honest mistake. Yeah. And I definitely think Deion knows exactly who I am. But at the end of the day, man, I'm definitely going to try to put in that work.
I got to say something, a compliment to you, just because I think people need to hear it publicly. You've always been a great guy to interview. And for those of you that don't know, Kevin's a top-class guy all the time. I think that one of the things that speaks volume just to what kind of person you are is the fact that, you know, when that happened, you didn't put yourself in the mix. You threw four peers that you respected. And you know what? I'm going to tell you right now, if I was in that situation, I don't know if I would have had that. I'm just saying, I don't know if I would have had that restraint. Right. And, you know, when you see something like that, it's like, you know, the guy that I've gotten to know, that backs it up. And I just wanted to tell you that, you know, publicly, because I think it's really big of you to not, the way you responded was fantastic. And it should be a lesson to whether you play football or not. That's how you conduct yourself. Right. So tip of the cap to you.
And I appreciate
with,
it.
With that.
So. I mean, trust me, I had a lot of guys on my phone and stuff like that saying, man, hey, man, you should say this, do this. Like, nah, man, we got to take the high road always.
Yeah, and you've always been a high road guy. Sure. So that was, I just wanted to get that out there.
I agree 100%. Sure. I mean, just to kind of piggyback on what he's saying, you know, there's a lot of great players. There's a lot of great athletes. But there's not a lot of great character. You have both. And just listening to you talk, I mean, it's like, I'm talking to a guy who's been in the league for 10 years. And you know what it is? It's just so exciting to hear that you got your head on straight. You're coachable. You're hungry. You got an edge. And I just want to take my hat off to say, man, keep doing that good working. Just like that caller said, let's go get this Lombardi Trophy here.
Oh, yes, sir. We got to get it, man. I hope to be in the league for 10-plus years. That's something I'm definitely chasing as well.
All right. We got a couple more minutes left. And I want to hit something real quick that I wanted to talk to both of you guys about. We didn't talk much about the Nashville Predators. We saw what happened. A lot of expectations on the team.
Right.
I just wanted to know, you guys went on a playoff run this year. You went to the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. What's the mentality? And like the expectations for that Predators team were to win the whole cup.
Exactly.
So, I mean, that's got to – and I know talking to those guys, that was kind of there. It's got to be a letdown. What's the range of emotions that you go through when, you know, you get to the postseason and it's over with? What do you kind of – what's the cycle you go through before you get back to where you are?
I mean, it definitely takes a few days, for sure. I mean, for some guys it may take longer. But it definitely takes some time just to get over, because you think about how much hard work you put in just to prepare for the season. And then just to have the year that they're having, just the emotions, the up and downs of a season, man, just pretty much reminiscing about all the things that happened, man. But, I mean, definitely hats off to the Preds, man. The Preds has really been holding it down for the city of Nashville the past couple of years. And I'm definitely proud of those guys and want to let them guys know that Nashville is definitely behind those guys. We're excited for next year already.
Yeah, I think when we lost the Super Bowl, I mean, it still bothers me. I mean, because just like what Kevin said, you put the work in and you work hard and you build chemistry with your team and you come up a yard short and you lose.
That's tough.
I mean, that still bothers me. I'm not going to, you know, say the good coaching stuff or the good cliché-ish words. It bothers me. I mean, when I look at that ring, I'll be like, I came up a yard short. But the good thing about it is I had 53 guys do something that we've never thought we'd do before, and that was to get into a Super Bowl. So that helped. That kind of eases the pain.
Yeah, for sure.
I was going to ask you this. So every year I feel like the teams are different. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I mean, you guys got a lot of guys coming back, but, you know, is there a new bond that forms starting right now just with the, you know, you got a group of guys, you're going to go through that whole journey together, and then wherever it takes you at the end of the season, that, you know, is that a bond that has to develop every year?
I wouldn't say it's a bond that has to develop every year, because I think we have a good, you know, close-knit group. And I think, honestly, the guys that's coming in now, they have to join this bond. Because, I mean, we already have something that's great going on. We're not building no new culture or anything like that. We have our culture. We have a bunch of blue chip-collar guys that works every day. And the guys that's coming in, especially the rookies, they're going to get a taste of that. And I think they'll be able to join in immediately and learn how we work here in Nashville.
I got one. You know, I'll tell you this. Your head coach looks like he could still play.
Not for sure. Like I said, he gets out there and mix it up with us a little bit, man. I think that's something that's definitely new and different, for sure.
You know, I'm going to test your knowledge. You know, what school did your DB coach go to? Can you say it loud and proud, please?
The DB coach, where he coached at?
Yeah, where he coached
at. Ohio State. No,
wrong. Come on, man.
Hey, I'm going to leave that to a guy who went to Ohio State to say that.
But what does he bring? I mean, y'all already got some fiery guys. What does he bring to a guy that's already fiery?
Coach Combs is probably the most intense, intense coach I've ever seen.
Like, and he's about 75, ain't he?
I don't think he's that old. I don't think he's like in his 50s or something
Chris. Come on.
I mean, he has a handful of gray hair, so yeah, he definitely could think that. Okay. Yeah. But I mean, Coach Combs, man, but one thing I will say, man, he's a technician. I mean, he's a mad science as far as technique. I mean, we're watching film, and it's something that I've never done in college. You know, we're watching our individual drills, just looking at our feet, breaking down. Like, if you say the foot on the line and you're breaking to your right, you know, you shouldn't bring that outside foot so far out. You're losing ground. He said just trying to gain that extra inch, that extra 6 inches, you know, to make a pass breakup into an interception.
Wow.
And I think he's making us into a technician. I think he's definitely making us a better DB group. And I'm definitely excited to have him as a coach, for sure.
You feel like it seems like you already learned some things. And he's a guy who's turned out a lot of pros. I mean, he's got some pretty good guys.
He had a top four pick this year.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he's had a first-round draft pick the past 3 years. So, I mean, he's definitely turned them out. Awesome, so, man. I mean, hopefully he can turn off some first-round draft picks to some all-pros and get a couple more, for sure.
I'm sure he's excited to get to work with you, though.
I mean Coach Combs, like I said, he's a very intense guy, man. He drinks about 12 cups of coffee every day. Yeah. He's like that.
I can get behind that. We got about 1 minute left here, Kevin. I guess if you got anything to say to the fans and you know, what do you kind of hope to get out of OTAs over the next couple months?
I mean, like I said, I mean, I think OTAs, man, it's a gelling period. I mean, I think for the most part, the playbook's in. I mean, everybody's pretty much been studying the playbook as much as they can. I think it's just really all about just going out there, perfecting the little parts of the game, making sure that we all know what we're doing. And like I said, having the rookies come in and pretty much know how we play the game. And I think, you know, once OTA is over with, you get your little 6 week breaks to not relax or anything like that, but to come back, make sure we're ready for training camp. So we can kick this thing off, man. Like I said, man, we're trying to go to the Super Bowl, man. I think that's the only goal on everybody's mind, man. We have a lot of veterans in this locker room that haven't been there, that haven't won one. So I definitely think I want to get one for those guys.
All right. He is Titans All-Pro safety, Kevin Byard.
Come on, Big B.
Thanks for joining us tonight, Kevin. Really appreciate you coming in. Former Titans wide receiver Chris Sanders in the studio. This has been Michaels and Mueller. I am Joe Leadingham. Thank you for listening.
All right. Hitting the windy. Hey.